The Meadows at Mystic Lake has modified its golf policies to follow the COVID-19 public health recommendations and welcomes you to play this award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic golf experience. The Meadows at Mystic Lake is a full-service golfing destination, enhanced by nearby food and entertainment, including the Meadows Bar and Grill and Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by Shakopee Mid-Wakanton Sioux Community.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and scorenorth.com.
And welcome in to Talking Twins. It is, as always, Zolgad, Jake DePew, Declan Goff, executive producing, and also commenting on the only big league baseball team in town. So it's all we got. I think we're down to like our last three shows here. And fortunately, Jake, because I have now turned my full attention to the debacle that was the Vikings on Sunday, at least, you have sent me notes on the Twins. So at least you've sent me notes where we can like look ahead, because I mean, I feel like there's really very little worth dissecting here now. It's just to a point where there's occasionally games where, you know, Ober will pitch or something like that. And so that can be fun to watch or talk about. But it just feels like the Twins are in quicksand now, and I don't know if there's like a lot left to dissect that's actually meat on the bone as far as the day-to-day games go. But do you want to start with our annual Nick Gordon complaining fest about the Twins' use? Or your second note here, which intrigues me too, was the fact that there are a couple pitchers, including Ober, who are with this club now, who intrigue you, because at least that's looking ahead to next year and guys who actually might play a role if the 2022 Twins, assuming we have baseball, of course, are going to get themselves on track.
Yeah, why don't I do my quick weekly rant on Gordon, which everyone has heard before, and then we can segue that into Ober and Giovanni Moran. Does that sound good?
Yeah, go.
All right. Yeah. Here we go. All right. So Nick Gordon, he has started one of the last four games, right, including this game. There, as we record right now, it's tied 5-5 in the 10th after the Twins blew a 5-run lead in New York. He's not starting today. So including that game, he started one of the last four games. In that game that he was actually allowed to start, he hit a home run, a long home run, drew a walk, and stole a base while starting at shortstop. I'm not saying Nick Gordon is, you know, a future perennial all-star.
No,
but it makes absolutely no sense to me. I mean, just none, that they would play him this sporadically. It's, you know, it's like once, maybe twice a series. He rarely plays on back-to-back days. Like, why are you playing Andrelton Simmons over him? Like, what? I just, this one baffles me, and I know I've spoken about this at length, so I won't go over that all again, but I'm so confused, especially when he's performing reasonably well and played really well in that one Royals game. He started, like, why not give him another start after a performance like that? I don't get if they have something against Nick Gordon, if they just don't believe in him, if Andrelton Simmons is somebody they want to re-sign and that's why they're playing him. This one just boggles my mind, and they're running out of time now to play him. So
the thing about Gordon that I don't get to is it feels like when they're asked about Nick, and Baldelli was asked in specific, I think on Saturday, about Gordon's playing time, and Gordon had played got into a game over the weekend against the Royals at shortstop, hit a home run in that game, actually looked good. And Rocco, it feels like there's a lot of dancing going on when they're asked about Gordon. You know, oh, we want to play multiple positions, not just shortstop. He's not really a shortstop. And we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I keep coming back to, do you really like him? Like, I think I firmly expect him to be included in some deal this winter and be traded and maybe go to a different team. And again, to your point, not be a Hall of Fame player, not be an all-star, but, you know, be a productive player, because I really like what he brings as far as, yes, he does not hit for power, but he does a lot of things the Twins don't do. Runs the bases well, he's got good speed, he can make a difference. And it's almost like the Twins aren't going to tell us what they really think, and I don't know if he doesn't fit their template or what, but it's weird to me when a manager or coach starts to sort of be like, oh, you don't understand what our, a lot of times that means we really don't like him as much as you do. And he's probably going to be gone, but we're not going to say that ever. And so we're going to, you know, try and confuse you, bamboozle you through, you don't get what we're doing here. The Gordon thing to me feels weird. Like, it feels like there's something there that they're not saying. And I think the simplest terms, they just might not be that, they might not be as intrigued by his skill set as I think we are.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I agree with you that that there's something strange going on that maybe they don't want to tell us. But even if you're not as intrigued as we are, wouldn't you want to showcase him for a potential trade? Like, if you're set on moving him in the winter, you'd still want to play him, you know, and let other teams see what he can do. So Andrelton Simmons is a free agent. Like, there's just no reason he should be playing every day. None. Nick Gordon is an up and coming prospect. I get he's 25 now, but I just think the fact that he transitioned to center field so seamlessly. Yeah. I mean, he didn't play a single inning of center field in the minors, and he went out there and he looked good. He was hitting cutoff men. He was taking good routes.
Because he's an athlete.
Yes.
Patrick Roycey said at the end of the 2-game sweep by the Astros at Target Field last year, Roycey flat out said, this team lacks athletes. And he was 1,000% right. They've got a bunch of bashers, but they don't have a lot of guys who are actually athletes. And Gordon has that, but it's almost like the Twins don't appreciate that. That's what I'm saying is weird. Mm-hmm. Like, it's because, like, I look at that and think, oh my God, this is intriguing. Like, this guy can cause problems on the bases. This guy can do things that a lot of your guys can't do. And the Twins look at it and it's almost like, I don't know if they're in love with big guys that can hit for power, which their drafting history of hitters actually says they might be. It's just a very weird thing because this guy, you're right, plays center field, which is very difficult to do in the big leagues and is immediately good. And it's like, they're like, oh, okay, cool. That's it. As opposed to, oh my God, we found something here.
Yeah, and it's weird because they kept Jake Cave over Lamont Wade because Cave is a better athlete, I think. And so that, you know, it seems like in some cases, at least, they're prioritizing athleticism. But, the whole thing with Gordon from the very beginning of the year, it's always been weird. Like when they called him up for 3 games and he never got into a single game, not even as a pinch runner to make his MLB debut. That was very strange to me. It's like they're yanking him around. And I don't quite get the reason. Maybe there's something behind the scenes that we don't know about. But to me, it just makes zero sense for him not to be playing every day in September. But everybody already knows that. So let's move on to Bailey Ober and Giovanni.
Hold on a second. I got bad news, guys. I got one bit of bad news. So off the Gordon story, where Baldelli was talking about Gordon, I think they asked Rocco. And this is sort of is he telling the truth or not? They asked Rocco about what you just broached, which was Andrelton Simmons, free agent, right? Because, like, there's two guys I'm out on. I'm out on him, and I'm out on Colome, and if they bring them back, I'm going to melt down. But Rocco, and again, I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. Rocco, well, it's so great to have a shortstop who can make all the plays behind our pitchers and our young pitchers, and you know, his year at the plate hasn't been as good as we had hoped or expected. He didn't say that exactly, but he makes every play and he's so good defensively. And I'm leaving the door open to bring him back, is what Rocco tried to say. Excuse me. Let's call a spade, first of all. It's fairly well known behind the scenes that when Simmons didn't get vaxxed, okay, that's not perfect, but then got COVID, and then the Twins had a COVID spree in their clubhouse that really, if it didn't short-circuit the season, it didn't help the season. If you bring this guy back, because your contention is he makes all the plays after the – and also, was it July or August where Andrelton went back on Twitter and ripped the vaccine again, which is like, what are you doing? Just leave that alone. I hope they're not serious. I've seen speculation about bringing Colome back as well. I hope that does not take place. If these guys bring either one or both back, I think they have less of a clue than I think they do now. And I'm down on them compared to 6 months ago.
Yeah, I can't imagine they'll bring either of those guys back. Although I guess I could see Simmons as like I would not bring Andrelton Simmons back to be clear, but I guess I could see them bringing him back as a cheap sort of plug in during a rebuilding year. To me, that wouldn't make any sense. But I guess I could see that if they pick up Colomay's option, which I believe is $5.5 million. I might have to boycott some games if that happens. I mean, that would be absolutely ludicrous. And yes, as down as we are on them after this season, if they picked up Colomay's option or brought back Simmons, I would just be totally out on them. And as I say this, by the way, it looks like the Yankees just walked off the Twins in the 10th.
It was only a 5-0 lead. Okay, Jake. I mean, come on.
I won't go on my the Twins are incredibly inept against the Yankees rant. I've already done that, but it surprises no one, I think, that that the Twins ended up losing that game. So that's too bad. They wasted a great performance from well, Buxton hit a home run, Polanco hit his 30th, Sano hit a home run, and it's all for naught. But anyways, yes, do not bring back Colomay, do not bring back Simmons. It's time to start this rebuild, and I don't think either of those guys are part of it.
Okay, now on to pitching.
Yes, so there are two pitchers who I really am intrigued by. Bailey Ober, obviously everyone knows, but he has been very, very good. Since the start of July, he has a 3.39 ERA, 61 strikeouts and 11 walks in 58 and a third innings. He gives up a lot of home runs. That's right now a big issue for him. But other than that, he's really been phenomenal. Like, the velo looks good. His control is really pinpoint. I'm really intrigued by Bailey Ober, and I actually think he could be like a 2 or 3 starter. And this is the first guy. I mean, we've ripped Falvey all year, so we got to give him credit for this. This is the first guy that in my mind has really shown significant improvement under this regime. This is the first of these young pitchers to come up and actually look good, especially because the velo is really up from his minor league days. So I do think they've done some good things with him. And the fact that he's 6'9", I mean, that helps a lot too, just in terms of his arm angle and the level of that the pitch is coming in for hitters. It's very deceptive, I think. I really think that he's a rotation mainstay. And if you combine him with Joe Ryan, I think that's a pretty good combo to start this rebuild, mm-hmm. You know? And we've talked a lot about Joe Ryan. Obviously he, you know, took a perfect game into the 7th or whatever against Cleveland. He's been phenomenal. But I think Ober and Ryan, I think they're legit. But Giovanni Moran just made his debut on Sunday. This is a guy who's put up kind of video game type numbers in AA and AAA this year. And, you know, I haven't seen him pitch a lot. I saw him pitch just a little bit in the minor leagues. I know he has a really good changeup. But when I saw him yesterday, I was really impressed. He came into, I believe, first and second, one out, you know, and for in the middle innings, and for your MLB debut, that's a tough situation to come into. And he pitched very well. He got out of that. He gave up a bloop hit, and that's it. He retired a number of established Royals hitters. I mean, it wasn't like he was facing a bunch of call ups. He retired Sal Perez and I believe Mondesi, maybe Whit Merrifield, a couple of guys in the heart of that order. And when you look at his minor league numbers, 14.6 strikeouts per nine. He does walk too many guys, but his home run rate is very low. He gives up in the minors this year. He's given up 3.7 hits per nine, which is ridiculously low. So he doesn't even really give up hits. He just walks guys, but and he had control issues at the end of his outing on Sunday. But man, that changeup looked really good. I mean, it dropped right off the table, and he was hitting 95. Apparently, he's gotten up to 96 in the minors. And the fact that he's left-handed, to me, he looks like a keeper. And so I think when you start to piece together what their pitching staff and especially their bullpen might look like in 2022, I think he's going to be a part of it. And if you combine him with a healthy Taylor Rogers, assuming they don't move Taylor Rogers, that could be a pretty nice lefty-lefty combination in that pen. So again, these are things that are very small victories, you know, considering the season that the Twins have had. But if you want to look for some positives going into what I think will be a pretty big rebuilding year in 2022, I think Bailey Ober, Joe Ryan, and Giovanni Moran are three guys that are pretty legit and look like they're going to be here for a while.
Interesting. So Moran has the fastball and changeup. Is there a chance, do you think, that they could get him to develop at least a third pitch? Because It sounds like he's got starting potential, but he's a bullpen guy right now exclusively. So, like, is this one where you could add pitches? Because the changeup sounds like it's lethal. It's really mm-hmm. good, which is hard to, you know, that's a difficult pitch certainly to master. And we've seen guys, Viola had the great change, Santana. But do you sense that this is one where they would try to add pitches to him and eventually turn him into a starter, Jake? Or is he going to be strictly a guy out of the bullpen for the long term, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's unlikely they're going to turn him into a starter because he hasn't started in the minors since 2018. And even in 2018, he still had a number of appearances out of the bullpen. So he's been pretty much exclusively a pen guy. Most bullpen guys in the majors are starters throughout at least some of their minor league career, and then they transition there because they can't develop that third pitch. I think the fact that he's been a reliever basically the whole time really suggests that he's probably a two-pitch pitcher. Obviously, if he could develop that third pitch, then maybe you think about lengthening it, you know, building him up and maybe transitioning into a starter. But I really see him as probably more of a reliever. But that changeup really is lethal. And I would encourage Twins fans, you know, if you're looking for something to watch at the end of this dismal year, keep an eye on the box score. And when Giovanni Moran comes into a game,
then turn it on.
It's worth turning it on and watching him, because I really was impressed. You know, I'd heard a lot about him and I really was impressed with what I saw on Sunday. I know it's just one appearance, but to have a changeup that's that developed for a young prospect like that is impressive.
Yeah, that's a tough pitch.
Yeah, and 95, you know, yep. Hitting 95 is pretty legit. So I think they've got something there. And so that's two spots in the rotation and a couple of spots in the bullpen that they've got filled, and the rest I think are more or less up for grabs.
Which leads to your third note, though. Tell me about your thought process, Jake, on what they're going to do, or at least what they might do pitching wise when we do play baseball in 2022, because I think this is an interesting thing. And strategically, I could see them going in this direction, because we're talking about a rotation that's not going to be probably fully formed. It's going to be partially formed. So your third note dovetails into what I think could be an interesting thought process that the Twins adopt next year, at least, while the transition for starting pitching especially continues.
Yeah, so I really think that they're going to try to build a pitching staff in the same mold as what the Rays have been doing for the last few years. And by that I mean have a ton of relievers that you cycle in and out. The Rays are constantly optioning guys up and down. They're DFAing guys at the front end of the pen. They're making a lot of waiver claims, a lot of trades. And they have very few, like, solidified starters. There are only three or four guys on that Rays staff who've started more than, like, 15 games. It's really kind of a pitching staff by committee that they do. You know, they have a lot of openers. And again, like, if you have options and you just pitched the previous day, you know, and you're not a Nick Anderson type, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to get sent down. And I get that for the fan base, maybe that's frustrating because you can't really watch guys or get attached to guys in the same way because they're moving them so quickly and trading guys and sending them down. But and it might be frustrating for the players, but just in terms of making the most out of a staff that maybe doesn't have a ton of dominating arms, but has a lot of solid arms, I do think it's a smart strategy to get creative and use a lot of openers and not really stick to the, you know, five scheduled starters and have, you know, bullpen guys in their set roles. Like, I think it didn't make sense for the Twins to do that the last couple of years because they had so many old starting pitchers, you know, Rich Hill and Homer Bailey and Jay Happ and Shoemaker. Those guys are not going to be up for openers. You know, they're not going to be up to come into the game in the second or third inning. But when you have a bunch of young starters like Bailey Ober and Joe Ryan, you can use openers with guys like that. You know, they just don't have, for better or worse, I don't think they have as much say in, like, when they come into the game, you know? So I would not be surprised at all if they do that. And I actually, as I was driving home from work today, I was listening to the game on the radio, and Corey Provost, the excellent play-by-play voice of the Twins radio, was talking about that as well, and saying that either, I can't remember if he said Falvey or Rocco, but one of them kind of hinted that they might go kind of more in that direction. And to me, with so much uncertainty on the staff and so many intriguing arms, you know, but arms that you don't want necessarily pitching 200 innings in their first year in the big leagues, I think that's a strategy that would make a lot of sense. So, like, if you go to baseball, if you go to the Rays baseball reference page, you see like there are only a few guys that have pitched over 100 innings. No one's going to come even close to pitching 200. And so again, with young pitchers, that works. Now the Rays know pitching. They know
this
pitching.
Is the key, yes.
Right, right. They know pitching maybe better than any organization in baseball. You could probably lump the Dodgers in there too, but you know, they know how to get the most out of those guys. Whether the Twins can do that and whether Falvey knows pitching as well as, you know, I think we thought he did when he came here in 2016, that's up for debate still. But if they can figure that out, like if they can figure out a good way to use young pitchers effectively and use the option guys effectively and get the most out of them while they're up and then, you know, send them back down and rest them while they're in the minors. If they can figure out a way to make that work, I actually think that would be the best path to contention. I still think contention is a major long shot, but I would rather have them do that type of system than sign a bunch of kind of mid-level free agent starting pitchers that are older, like Happ and Shoemaker and those types of guys where you know you're going to have to start them and they want to get their six innings in or whatever. I would much rather have the flexibility of using these young arms and cycling them through the way the Rays do.
What's your faith that they could do it and successfully execute it?
Because
you're right. The Rays right now are one of the most remarkable organizations in pro sports.
Absolutely.
I mean, not just baseball. What they do in that stadium where they get, about 5,000 people, and they continue to cycle through names that no one has ever heard of and might not hear from again. And if they get good, they might trade them. It's a remarkable story, but they are also very, very smart. So what's your faith that the Twins could copy this and do it effectively?
My faith that they could attempt to copy it is high.
Well, yeah, me too. I'm saying but, what's your faith they could execute it?
Lower than I would have said a year ago or 2 years ago, certainly much lower than the Rays. I don't have a lot of confidence right now in their ability to develop pitching or to execute a plan like this, because again, like they like to use the term, you know, evidence-based decision-making. And so I'll use that same term when evaluating them. The evidence does not suggest so far that they're able to develop pitching. Now, it's maybe starting to shift a little bit if Ober is as legit as I think he is, and Moran and Joe Ryan, and I've said we should give them one more year. So, but the evidence right now is just not really there that they can develop pitching effectively. So I don't have a lot of faith. I just don't. But I think this is this is kind of their last shot to really prove that they can do that. And so if they're able to develop pitching effectively and they just had a ton of bad luck over the last 5 years or whatever, then this could work. But I don't have a ton of faith. No, I don't. I mean, do you guys have a ton of faith in their ability to develop pitching at this point?
Dex?
No, not necessarily. I mean, Bailey Ober's been decent. Joe Ryan looks promising, but he wasn't necessarily developed by you either. I think in general, you're going to have to be homegrown and then, just kind of patchwork rotation in 2021 with those mid-tier guys we talked about over the last week. So no, I don't have a lot of faith that they can figure it out and get better from within Falvey and Levine.
I'm more concerned about the guys that they have decided don't deserve to stick here and then go elsewhere and have success. That worries me. It's not just can they identify pitching? I think they might be able to. Can they identify the pitchers and then hold on to them who are going to help you? That's what sort of alarms me. If they were just trying to get pitchers and for the most part they just weren't good across the board, I'd be like, okay, this is just a problem flat out. I'm more mystified by the fact that at times, and we've certainly talked about this throughout the season, you guys, at times they have identified pitching and done a really good job, and then the guys on the Giants or the guys on the Yankees or the guys on the Braves, that's what I don't understand. How can you get guys internally in your system? So you've actually scouted them and done a decent job, but then you're making the wrong choice. It's like going to the grocery store to try to get fruit, and you're like, well, this is overly ripe. It's going to spoil. Think I'll buy this one and leave this one that's going to, you know, turn ripe in the next 3 days. I'll get rid of that one. It's like, what are you doing? So I'm more mystified by the process that goes into how they are literally getting guys into the organization who are productive and then jettisoning them. I don't understand that one. That's where I'd love to sit down with Falvey and like ask him, what's the thought process that leads to this? Because Jake, if it's one guy, I'm like, it's one guy. That's not good, but it's one guy. But I mean, you did a great job last week of documenting cases for us, and it wasn't one guy. You went through a list of people, and what, three or four of them were pitchers.
Yeah, and yeah, it's almost like you're right. They identify it, the talent, but then they can't pull the trigger on it. Like I go back even to 2018, they had Anibal Sanchez in camp, and this was after Anibal Sanchez had two or three really mediocre years with Detroit, and everybody kind of said, "What are they doing bringing in Anibal Sanchez? Like, are they really going to be able to? Is this going to be like a reclamation project?"
Yep.
And they had him in camp for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then they released him. Mm-hmm. And he went to, I believe, the Braves and then the Nationals and had two or three really good years. And so that's a perfect example of what you're talking about, that like they can identify the talent, but then for whatever reason, they don't, a lot of times they don't keep those guys, you know? And so whether it's Sanchez or Luis Gil, and I know Luis Gil got roughed up by the Twins today, but I still think he's a really good prospect. Waskar Ynoa, even, you know, bullpen guys like Zach Littell and Tyler Wells. It's like they had these guys and they obviously, you know, recognized at least to some extent their ability and their talent level. But for whatever reason, they second guess themselves or they get bad reports from their minor league affiliates or whatever it is. Right. But there's some sort of issue in the kind of the communications process where they're not getting the correct info and intel on these guys that they have in their organization.
And that's the key, because the one breakdown that teams like this cannot afford is that where for whatever reason, the reports that are getting back to you or your own observations, I don't know what, but they're wrong. And like, that's the one thing is nobody in the right mind expects the Twins to go out and trade for Max Scherzer and sign free agent ace starting pitchers. It'd be nice, but it's not going to happen. But then the next thing is, can you identify it, right? Because can you develop a guy who, unfortunately, in 6 years is going to walk, but for 6 years, it's going to be good. Like I have a feeling that these guys would have looked at Johan Santana and been like, yeah, I don't know about that, right? And I mean, that was back in the day, a Terry Ryan special. Like he got him, they put him in the bullpen, cultivated him. So it wasn't like a bang, flipping the switch and success. So those are the type of things that when Terry was in his first stint, he did so well.
Yeah.
I don't know that these guys have shown that ability yet. And for a team like the Twins, that's absolutely imperative. If you're going to have success, like that's one of the most important things, identifying future stars, and at least until they get the big contract elsewhere, you know, you get those 5 or 6 years and it's fantastic. And that's the one thing that we're not seeing consistently and concerns me, because that will eventually completely bite the entire organization in the butt.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to bring it back to the Rays, what the Rays are so amazing at is not just identifying and developing pitching, which they do remarkably well, but also knowing, because of their budget, knowing when to pull the trigger on trading these guys. You know, I mean, the Rays are what they've done this year is incredible. I mean, they traded their starting shortstop in like May. They traded Rich Hill, who was having a phenomenal year, to the Mets, I believe, at the trade deadline. You know, so like they know how to develop.
Snell
traded Blake Snell.
Had a mostly miserable year, and people, their fan base, rightfully so, baseball was up in arms. They gave him away.
Exactly.
In the opinion of fans.
Exactly. And so they know how to identify, how to develop, and when to ship these guys off. And yes, part of that is because they can't afford it. But I think a large part of it is because they just understand their pitchers really well. And they know when maybe these guys are a little bit past their prime, or, you know, when they're due for regression. And that's when they move them. And so, yeah, the Twins just need to get a lot better at all of those things.
Great stuff, sir. We will talk next week. How does that sound?
All right. Sounds good, guys. Thank you.